There are 7 states left on the primary calendar, and 4 of them are major producers of coal. Indiana is next week, then West Virginia, Kentucky, and Montana. Both Democrats are fighting for the votes of coal miners. At the same time, they're campaigning as champions of the environment. Scott Finn of West Virginia Public Broadcasting has this look at the politics of coal.
It's springtime in the coal mining town of Sylvester, West Virginia. The steep hillsides are abloom with dogwood and redbud trees, and the sounds of the Coal River and birdsong compete with bulldozers and trucks from the local coal processing facility on a ridge that dominates the town.
And whenever the wind will blow from the west coming up this way, which it usually does, it carries all this dust over the entire town.
This retired coal miner, Chuck Nelson, used to live in the shadow of a massive pile of coal 200 yards above his house until the coal dust drove him and his wife with asthma away.
Well, you could take a paper towel or a rag or something, a white rag, and you could wipe it over countertop or your table, and the rag would look jet black from the coal dust that was laying on our furniture.
Since Nelson retired and sold his house to the coal company, he's become a volunteer activist. On this day, he had already driven to the state capital of Charleston, looking for Barack Obama's campaign office. He wants to know what Obama says about mountaintop removal, the mining method where the tops of mountains are blown apart to expose seams of coal, and the leftover rock and dirt is dumped into nearby streams. Chuck Nelson.
We want a yes or no answer. We don't want this beating around the bush because this is critical to us.
Nelson uses the internet to track these contradictions. He found Obama telling the environmental group Appalachian Voices in January that, quote, strip mining is an environmental disaster. But in a speech last month in West Virginia, Obama sounded more restrained.
My job as president is to listen and work with local and state officials who are knowledgeable about these issues so that we can make this work properly. One thing I promise you I won't do, though, is I'm not just going to take a bunch of contributions from the coal industry and then just do their bidding any more than I would just listen to the environmentalists.
In an interview that same week, Hillary Clinton was also seeing both sides.
I'm not an expert. I don't know enough to have an independent opinion, but I sure would like people who could be objective, understanding both the economic necessities and the environmental damage, to come up with some approach. Maybe there is a way to recover those mountaintops once they have been stripped of the coal. I just think we've got to look at this from a practical perspective.
So putting aside how the coal is mined, what about relying so much on coal in the first place? More than 20 new coal-fired power plants are under construction in the U.S. right now, the most in a decade. Environmentalists want a moratorium until new plants can capture greenhouse gases and store them underground. Clinton sounded friendly to that idea earlier this month on Montana Public Radio.
So yes, I would like to see us hold off a new coal power plant construction while we push to do the demonstration projects, push to do the energy efficiency. In some places that's practical, in other places it isn't.
But does that mean a moratorium? No, says her domestic policy director, Catherine Brown. She hangs on to the last part of Clinton's statement, that it isn't practical in all places. And Obama? He told the environmental magazine, Grist.org, that he was against an arbitrary freeze on development. But his campaign later issued a statement saying that Obama will use whatever policy tools are necessary, including standards that ban new traditional coal facilities. For people living in the coal fields, a moratorium is not an academic question. Bill Rainey, director of the West Virginia Coal Association, says people's lives and livelihoods are at risk.
I'd like to see more concern expressed for the people that depend on the mines working every day, and their children are being educated and their homes are being built as a result of them mining coal for the rest of America.
Back in the coal mining town of Sylvester, Chuck Nelson says he's still determined to pin the candidates down before May 13th, primary day.
We need somebody that's going to come out, tell the friends of coal, tell the environmentalists, tell these communities, you know, where they stand. And what's going to be the process of extracting coal in the next 20 or 30 years.
On this much, the environmentalist and the coal official agree. As for the candidates, they may share a common interest in keeping their options open. For NPR News, I'm Scott Finn in Charleston, West Virginia.